February has been an especially violent month in Iraq, the deadliest since the end of the major combat operations. Suicide attacks, assaults, and roadside bombings have claimed more than 200 lives, most of them Iraqi civilians. Half of the fatalities occurred on February 1st, when suicide bombers attacked Kurdish party offices in the northern Iraqi city of Erbil. NPR's Deborah Amos traveled there and filed this report.
The walls are blackened from the fire at the party headquarters of the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan. Workmen are still cleaning up.
The explosion was just done here.
Hoshang Abdulhadi points out the center of the blast, carried out by a suicide bomber at the celebration of a Muslim holiday. Within minutes, another suicide bomber hit a second political headquarters. More than 100 people died in the twin explosions, and convinced Kurds they were no longer spared from the chaos of Baghdad and the Sunni heartland since they opened their borders to the rest of Iraq after the war.
Today, Iraq is one. We have reintegrated with Iraq.
Safin Bizet is a spokesman for the Kurdish government.
So this freedom of movement, undoubtedly you will always have one or two people sneaking through and trying to conduct their activities in this region.
The Kurds have tightened security across the north. In Erbil, armed guards man checkpoints every couple of blocks. The attacks came at a time of growing mistrust between Iraq's Kurds and Arabs, as the Kurds push for a federal system to protect the autonomy they have enjoyed for more than a decade. The bombing only increased the tensions, says Peter Galbraith, a former American ambassador who is now a consultant for the Kurdish government.
What you will see is a tightening of the controls between Kurdistan and the rest of Iraq. I think it's clear that Arabs are not welcome here. There's a kind of anti-Arab sentiment. Of course, the fear is that there'll be another incident like this at some time in the future.
It's hard enough to get over this one, with the biggest casualty figures since the end of the war. At the Kabat newspaper, the centerpiece of a fountain at the front gate, is three pencils sprouting water. In the office upstairs, Chaiman Saleh edits the political pages. Saleh is dressed all in black, mourning for two newspaper photographers who died in the bombing.
Yes. This accident was very, very bad. There's a deep sadness for those people.
Like many Kurds, her demands for Kurdish self-rule have increased since the bombing, rights she wants spelled out in the Basic Law, a document that will outline the structure of a government when the U.S. hands over sovereignty on July 1st.
We want our rights to be contained in the new constitution.
One of the most contentious issues in the Basic Law is the structure of the new Iraqi army. Other ethnic groups want a unified army. The Kurds want control of any troops deployed in Iraqi Kurdistan, says Peter Galbraith.
They're not going to believe that 11 months of American nation building has somehow created a reformed Iraqi army. They would be crazy to believe that.
So far, the military issue is unresolved and threatens to delay the deadline for agreement on the Basic Law due in 2 weeks. The Kurds insist it is a bottom line, says Kurdish spokesman Safin Bizet.
Safeguarding the interests of the Kurds in this region that we control today, it is our duty. And it will continue to be our duty after the regaining of sovereignty of Iraq.
In Erbil, a businessman has opened a restaurant named Washington. A thanks to American forces for getting rid of Saddam, now Kurds want more control of the Iraqi army in their region and guarantees of self-rule. Deborah Amos, NPR News.